great is the measure of our Father's love. Oh, great is the measure of our Father's love. Oh, think about His love. Think about His goodness. Oh, think about His grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, oh, great is the measure of our Father's love. Oh, great is the measure of our Father's love. Yes, think about His love. Think about His goodness. Oh, think about His grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, oh, great is the measure of our Father's love. Oh, great is the measure of our Father's love. Once more. Let us think about His love. Think about His goodness. Oh, think about His grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, great is the measure of our Father's love. Oh, great is the measure of our Father's love. Oh, great is the measure of our Father's love. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Great is the measure. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. So, let's read Psalms 31. We have some 13 verses, so we'll just read all of it. Psalmist says, "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Bow down Thy ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be Thou my strong rock from a house of defense to save me. For Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they laid privily for me, for Thou art my strength. Into Thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that reward lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I'll be glad and rejoice in Thy mercy, for Thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Thou hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of my iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors. And I feared to mine acquaintance, they that did see me without fled from me. I'm forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. Oh, my Lord, have mercy on us this morning, Lord Jesus, as we just want to thank you for bringing us here in this wonderful place. Get the pastor and his family back safely. We ask now, dear Lord God, that you bless us as we just want to give our minds and hearts to thee, knowing you're the one who kept us this week. We're here to just rejoice and thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he saved me from the uttermost. Oh, when I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me. With the uttermost, how he ruled me with the uttermost. Think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground. Whoa, it makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory. And all the honor and all the praise. Oh, when I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. Oh, when I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground. Oh, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Oh, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Oh, it makes me want to shout. This makes me want to shout. Thank you, Jesus. My God, so much to shout about. Got us through another week. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. Oh, he wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God? How great is our God? How great is our God? Oh, the splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, all the earth joys, and all the earth joys. Oh, he wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. Oh, how great is our God? How great is our God? How great is our God? Oh, his name above all names, you are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. Oh, how great is our God? How great is our God? How great is our God? Oh, his name above all names, you are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God. Oh, how great is our God. How great is our God. How great is our God. Name above all names, you are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God. Thank you, Jesus, for your greatness. Seated as we just get ready for the offering, please. My soul, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Amen. Just have a little prayer this morning for the offering, as we want to just thank you, Lord Jesus, for everyone here. Pray that you bless those who are still on the way, dear Lord God. We're here, dear Lord God, to give, because you have given so much to us, dear Lord Jesus. I pray now that you'll bless those who have to give and those who have not. Next time, dear Lord, that you'll fill their purse so they can bring something to your storehouse. Ask now that you'll just bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. O bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Oh, fill fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, oh fill it up, and make me whole. Thank you, Jesus. Make it whole. Make me like the Christ of old, healing and raising the dead. Give me the power that Jesus had, the blood that was shed. Oh, burn, burn, Holy Spirit, burn in me. Make me like the Christ of old, oh, healing and raising the dead. Oh, give me the power that Jesus had, oh, through the blood that. Everybody burn, 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 Holy Spirit, burn in me. Set my soul, oh, on fire, and fill me with the Holy Ghost and God's full desire. Well, make me like the Christ of old, oh, healing and raising the dead. Oh, give me the power that Jesus had through the blood that was shed. One more time, say, burn, burn, Holy Spirit, burn in me. Oh, set my soul, yeah, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Oh, and God's full desire. Oh, and make me like the Christ of old, oh, healing and raising the dead. Oh, give me the power that Jesus had, oh, through the blood that was shed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just greet somebody. Say, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. My, my, my. Praise the Lord. We just want to just thank God just to be in His presence once more. I know we're a little short this morning, but that's okay, because they say we're two or three are gathered in my name. There am I in the midst. And before we want to just stop and have a word of prayer. I had a couple of calls this morning. One this morning, but this weekend, Satan's just on an attack. And we had one of our precious brothers have to have surgery on Friday. And Brother Kenny, so we want to remember him in prayer and his family. They're just with him. Also this morning, Brother Robles called me and told me that his mother had been admitted to the hospital, I think for high blood pressure, and so he went to just kind of go and see about her. And so, you know, the enemy just attacking. Sister Brown, her brother from
my understanding, he had to have surgery and he lost his leg, amen, in the surgery. So we want to remember him in prayer there in Maryland. And you know, when sometimes when it just kind of comes in waves like this, you just need God to drop a blessing, amen, somehow. And we trust that God will do that today. Amen. Keep Brother Sister Burrs in prayer. They're on their way back from Orlando this morning. Yesterday we drove up to, Friday night we left to go to Georgia to be a part of Brother Joe Underwood the second, his wedding on yesterday. And we start making our way back on yesterday afternoon. Got to Orlando last night and just kind of slept and then got up this morning and brought it on in. And so Brother Burrs and Sister Burrs, they were with us, and they said, well, we'll meet y'all there. So but we just want to get here for the service of the Lord today. And so just keep them in prayer that God would just bless them and give them traveling mercies. Amen. Let's just bow in a brief word of prayer. Father, we thank you. We have the opportunity to come to you. You told us to bring all of our burdens to you, to lay them at your feet. And God, we asked for a special touch for Brother Robles' mother this morning. They've diagnosed her, Lord, with high blood pressure. But we know, Lord, that you're the one that designed the body and that you, God, can correct whatever is going wrong. So we just pray that you'd give him peace and comfort and strength at this time, and that you just, Lord, just intervene in this situation and just bless his mom. Lord, is our prayer. Also, our precious brother Kenny, who had to have surgery on Friday, we ask that you'd give him a speedy recovery. And Lord, as his family just stands by his side, and we just ask that you minister to their hearts and to their needs even now. Also, Sister Brown's brother who lost a leg this week. God, what a tremendous, tremendous thing to go through. We just imagine ourselves if that were us. Lord, we want somebody praying for us or someone encouraging us and strengthening us in some kind of way. And we just ask that you just surround them with the right people. Bless his wife and Lord, his family as they just stand by his side, Lord, to help him through this phase of his life. We just ask that you would undergird them, Lord, and use this somehow for your glory. They also had another relative that had surgery earlier last week, and from the surgery, Lord, they ended up paralyzed. God, we just ask that you would touch that person, that young individual going through, Lord, so much. Lord, never intended for it to go that way, but Lord, this is what it is. And God, we just pray that you would help them through this time. Enemy just attacking on every hand, but Lord, you promised that you'd lift up the standard against the enemy. So we thank you, Lord, that we can come to praise you. We thank you that we have hands that we can lift. We have feet that we can walk. We have a mouth that we can raise. Lord, we just have so much, Lord, that we can be thankful for. And we ask that you would bless our coming together today. God, even though we might be few in number, may your spirit, Lord, just be so pleased, amen, with the praise that is going forth in this place, that you would come down and visit us in a special way. God, we give the service into your hands as we just worship you just a little bit more. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, put your hands together and worship him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You sent your word to heal my disease. You are the Lord, my healer. I am the God that healeth thee, say. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I send my word to heal your disease. Hallelujah. Oh, I am the Lord. Blessed be his holy name. Your healer. Come on, confess it back. You are the God that healeth me. You are that healeth me. You are the Lord, my healer. Oh, you see. Come on, one more time with all your heart. Say, you are the God that healeth me. You are that healeth me. You are the Lord, my healer. Oh, you send your word to heal. You are the Lord, my healer. Come on, you sent your word. Oh, you sent your word to heal my disease. You are the Lord, my healer, Lord. Oh, he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just one more song of worship. He's worthy of the glory and the honor. We lift our hands in worship. We bless his holy name. Because he's great this morning. Anybody believe that? Hallelujah. You deserve the glory. Come on, put your hands together. And the honor. Hallelujah. Lord, we live. As we bless your holy name. Come on, say, you deserve, oh, and the honor. Lord, we live. Hallelujah. Yay. Hallelujah. For you are great. Say, you are great. Oh, you do miracles so great. Oh, there is no one else, nobody nowhere. See, there is no one like you. Lord, you are great. Oh, so great. Hey, nobody nowhere, no one else like you. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands as we bless. Hallelujah. You deserve, oh, and the honor. Come on, somebody. Lord, we lift our hands as we bless. Hallelujah. Come on. You are great. Oh, you do miracles. So great. No one else like you. Oh, there is no one like you. Say you are great. You do miracles so great. Nobody like you, Jesus. Hey, there is no one like you. Say you are great. Hey, you do miracles so great. Well, there's no one else like you. Oh, there's no. Say you are great. Oh, you do miracles so great. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is no one. Come on, one more time. Hey, there is no one else like you. worship him in this place. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Thank you, Jesus. Nobody like you, Father. You're great and greatly to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So praise the Lord. So this morning, amen, our brother Reginald will come to bring us the word of God. And amen, we're certainly looking forward to what the Lord has placed in his heart. Brother Reginald from Boynton Beach there, Brother Gene, the pastor, but some of the other brothers have come, amen, to support him. And I see Sister Chena there. What? I didn't know she was here. I didn't know she was here. We should have got a song from Sister Chena this morning. She should have been our special this morning. Amen. What you got in your heart, Sister Chena? Something. Come on. You be our special this morning before Brother Reginald comes. We thank God for, I want to thank God for all the saints here from Boynton. And also, before we go further, you can be seated. I thank God for Brother Gene's son, Brother Paul, just kind of coming in and filling in on the drums. God bless you, Brother Paul. Appreciate that. Amen. And also, I want to thank the Lord for Brother Mally Bongwe. Amen. Our precious brother here from South Africa. So good to have him in fellowship with us. Amen. On today. Amen. God bless you. Sister Chena.
God bless you all. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power, 'cause it reaches to the highest mountains, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from dead to dead, it will never lose its power. My doubts and calm my fears, and it dries all my tears. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from death to
sing a chorus of it. It flows through the lowest valley. Oh, the blood
that gives me strength from day. It will never lose its power. As we welcome Brother Reginald to the pulpit this morning, say it reaches to the highest mountain. Thank you, Lord. And it flows through the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day, day to day. One more time and reach it.
Amen. 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 Our God is worthy of praise. You wouldn't believe that my subject is the importance of the blood. I don't know if you can understand the way of our God. God himself introduced himself in the meeting. As we were coming in the car, and I asked, does anybody have a song? Sister Lynchina looked at me. No. She didn't know that God was going to use her. To introduce himself. Our God. God bless you, Sister Lynchina. Amen. Amen. Yes, give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Yes, he deserves it. Amen. God bless you again. I don't want to keep you standing for too long. If you can read with me in Hebrews chapter 9. I have no word to express what I just felt. And I was thinking, Lord, I don't know what to preach. I don't have a subject. And he gave me this one. Just to confirm that it was from him, and that song was sung. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 6 to 15, we'll read verse 6 to 10, and then we'll continue. I'll have you sit down, and then we'll continue. It says, now when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services. But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sin committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. Concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings, and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of reformation. May God add his blessing upon his word, and you may be seated. I bless you again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's wonderful to be here with you again, by the grace of God. This subject, we need to understand the blood, amen, why we needed it, and why we still need it, amen, as long as we're here. Amen. I want you to understand that. And what is the blood today? Right. The importance of the blood. A lot of us, most of the time, don't take time to think about it. Well, it's good to come to church. But do you know who made that way for you to come to church? Amen. And how was it made for you to come? Right. I asked the Lord just like he was with Moses' mouth so that he can be with me. Let's read from the first verse. There's a few things I would like you to see before we continue. Hebrews chapter 9. Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared. There was a tabernacle prepared. So if there was a tabernacle prepared, then that tabernacle was needed. Because God will not do anything that he has no use for. God is not like us, that we're going to start to do something and we find out along the way, man, I don't think I need that. You stop. Not God. Not him. He doesn't act like that. He's perfect, amen, in knowledge. Amen. That is why Brother Branham says, when God take or made a decision, yeah, he can't take it back. Amen. Because what he says is perfect. There's nothing about God, right, that has an imperfection in it. Amen. There was only one man on earth that was a perfect man, and that was Jesus Christ. There was only one man on earth that could walk without sin, that was Jesus Christ. And there was one man on earth that can say a word that said, no, I didn't mean to say that. Jesus never said that. I don't know if you ever think about that. Jesus never said, let's say that I'm trying to say, Brother Jack, and then I say, Brother Reginald. And no, I didn't mean Brother Reginald. I mean Brother Jack. Jesus never said that. That had never happened in Jesus' life, brother. Never. Well, Brother Reginald, we don't know everything about Jesus, but I know one thing. He's God. There can't be no mistake in him. If he says Brother Jack, he meant Brother Jack. If he said by the Reginald, he meant by the Reginald. Right. He's not going to go back and say, no, I'm sorry. I mean, that was a mistake. I didn't mean to say that. Oh my God. Come on. Jesus never said, I'm sorry for what he says. Because what he says, he meant. Thank you, sister. Amen. That's all right. Amen. That tabernacle was prepared. And it meant something. It meant Jesus Christ. You know that. But today, that tabernacle met you and I. He prepared that tabernacle. You know, the old Testament was a shadow of the new, right? And that New Testament, everything in the Old Testament talks about Jesus Christ, right? So meaning, as long as you're reading the Old Testament, you're reading the shadow, which is not the reality, which is not the real thing. But when Jesus come, he was not a shadow. He was the real thing, yet still a shadow. I don't know if you understand what I just said. When Jesus came, he was not a shadow. He was the reality of what was supposed to come, right? But yet still a shadow. Who was he shadowing? The bride. But who are you? You are no shadow. You are not a shadow. Because after you, there's no more.
Amen.
I hope you catch that.
Amen.
Jesus was shadowing something. It was you and I. But you are not shadowing anything because there's no more after you. Because after you is nothing but judgment.
Amen. That's right, brother.
Glory. If there is a God that the world wants to see today, it will be you and I. If the world wants to see Jesus Christ, then they need to come here.
Amen.
To see Jesus Christ, brother.
Amen. That's right. Glory.
Now, if the Jews want to see God, they don't come here. They're looking for God in the wrong places.
Come on.
Because God is nowhere else but in his bride.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You're not a type of anything. You're not typing anything. You are the reality of the real thing.
Amen.
That needed to come. There's no more type after you. The last type was Jesus Christ. Hopefully you understand that. How can the Lord God, Jesus, be a type? Yeah, but as long as you and I have it come into manifestation, he was typing something. That's just like the Old Testament. As long as Jesus did not come yet, it was still a type. But when Jesus come, there was no more type.
Amen. Amen.
Now that Jesus is here in his bride, there's no more type.
Glory.
Because after you and I is the end of the world. You need to know who you are.
Amen.
Otherwise, you'll never get out of here. For the tabernacle was prepared.
Right.
The first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all. Now, it's not two tabernacles, it's one. But there's two parts in it. The sanctuary and the holiest of all. Just like you. The sanctuary, your body. The holiest of all, your soul. Because why they are talking about a holiest of all or the holy of holy? That's because God, the Shekinah glory, was in there. Behind that second veil. Now if that same Shekinah glory is in you, in your soul, then your soul is the holy of holy. Your soul is the holiest of all because God, the Shekinah glory, is in there. Now, I want you to see that reason why I said Jesus was a type. Because Jesus was that tabernacle himself.
Amen. Come on.
God was in him.
Amen.
Just like God is in us today.
Amen.
Jesus was the tabernacle walking on 2 feet.
Amen.
Today we are the tabernacle walking on 2 feet, brother.
Yeah.
And Jesus came and lived. He led an example for you and I.
Amen.
We're not leaving no example for nobody else because there's nobody else after us. And if you're not of this message, you won't understand our language.
Come on.
Well, if you were not called of God,
all right now.
If you were not elected,
amen,
to see and understand the kingdom of God,
thank you, Lord.
Right now you'll be in confusion.
Uh-huh. Come on. Thank you, Lord.
It says, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant, overlaid on all sides with gold. Now, you know, gold represent deity.
Right. Exactly.
So, the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna. Now, the manna was in the golden pot. The manna, which represent the word of God, was in the golden pot.
Come on, work with it.
That was not, it's like Jesus and the Father. So, now if you don't understand this, you're going to go on and say, just like everybody else is saying out there, Jesus, the Father, and Jesus.
Uh-huh.
The Father and Jesus. It says here, the manna was in the golden pot.
Right, sir.
That golden pot.
Come on.
That golden pot. Now you see, the manna is in there.
Yes,
Jesus came out of that golden pot.
Amen.
Jesus is the manna we're eating this morning.
Yes,
coming from the golden pot. Now, when you come to understand this, this was talking about you. Now, Paul was referring to you. I'm not talking, he was referring to Jesus Christ. Why? Because today, I want you to always remember this, that Jesus Christ is you and I. That's
too
hard, brother. Because there's only one amen. Because if you understood that Jesus Christ was you and I, you would say amen to that. Because I want you to understand this. I don't know if I told you that last time. A dog cannot go and mate with a cat. No. A cat can go and mate with a lion because they're not of the same kind. A lion looks for another female lion, right? Just like a male cat looks for another female cat. A dog does the same. Then so does God. God doesn't look for nobody. God looks for God. God doesn't look for no human beings. God looks for God. God searches for God. That's how it is, brother. Everything of the same nature got to go, you know, stay together. Then God, if God come to you and I, then we must have been the same nature as God.
Amen.
If God come to us, then who are we? If Jesus come to us, then who are we? But when I'm come to a person, he says, I'm going to call you Miss Jesus.
Exactly.
That's why sometimes, I mean, I can't take time to explain everything after, because it's just the way I preach. Because if I start to explain everything I say, I will never get into my message. Now, you are Jesus Christ on earth again. That's what Brother Branham says. When you come to know who you really are, the rapture will take place. The rapture will take place. All these things, Paul was talking about you today. Now, that tabernacle, when it was made back then, Moses, God gave him instruction what to do. But before we get into that, I want to tell you something. That the devil, when he was up there with God, in his heart, he was planning something. But what he did not know that the creator that made him can read hearts. What he did not know, even before the creator created him, the creator already knew what he was going to be done. But he made him anyway. That's why a lot of people ask, why, if God knew what was going to happen, why did he do it? Because it's God. Amen. He does whatever he wants to. Amen. He doesn't to give you no explanation. Amen. No, to come and explain. You know what? I'm sorry. He is going to say he's sorry. You're sorry. Amen. You're sorry for not accepting what he did. Now the devil did not know that. He comes every day before God in worship just like you and I does. But in his heart, there was something there. That only he thought alone knew. But he did not know it. Him and God knew it. I'm going to tell you again this morning. What's in your heart? There's three people that knows it. Now it's no more two people, it's three. The first one is you. Second one is God. Amen. The third one is the devil, if it's of the devil. Amen. Let me tell you again. There are three people that knows what's in your heart this morning. The first one is you. Second one is God. Third one is the devil. If what's in your heart is of the devil. Because it could never be there if it wasn't from the devil, if it's wrong. But there, you can have something in your heart that has the nature of God, or that is the mind of God. The devil don't know that. The devil don't know that. That would be only you and God. That is why sometimes you don't talk out loud what you want to do. Because once you speak it, the devil knows it. But keep it in your heart and let it come to be just like that. The devil just going to stand and watch. Now the devil was before God and was planning this evil thing. And God was looking at him. And the Bible says, the reason why God did not just cast him out or burn him or annihilate him, because God was giving him a chance. That's how good he is. But what happened? He never repented until the day of his grace was over. Now, when God cast him out of heaven, he came down with a plan. The same plan to overthrow God. He came down when he did what he did in the Garden of Eden. When he made Eve did what she did, and Eve went on and made Adam, But now, let me correct that. You see now, that's a man talking. Because I said, let me correct that. Because if it was God, he was not going to say, let me correct that. Adam, Brother Branham says, he did what he did because he knew what was going to happen. But Eve did not know. Eve did not know. But Adam knew. Adam knew where you and I would be today. When he was about to do what he did. How come? Because Adam had the very mind of God. Adam could see the future. But what I'm saying, Adam was the God on earth.
Amen.
God was God in heaven.
Amen.
But Adam was God on earth.
Amen.
Now, Adam had the knowledge of God. The perfect knowledge of God. And Adam went to Eve. Because Adam knew that if he did not go, if he doesn't go to Eve, Eve will be lost. And that's why what I'm saying is, Adam was doing what Jesus is done today. Adam was doing what Jesus had done for us 2,000 years ago. Because if Jesus did not come, you and I would be lost. Now Adam went out with his wife, knowing what would happen, but at the same time he knows that that God that created him will not let him die. Adam knew that God cannot let his seed die. Then he said, you know what? I know what's in his mind. Then I'm going out there and I'm going to save my wife. Why? Because that God made me in his image. Now, when Adam went out, when the devil saw that Adam did that, he said, I won. He said, this war is over. I got him. But he did not know that. The same way, when Adam was looking at the end, Adam was also looking at the devil's end. He was. Now Adam sinned. Adam sinned. And the devil was like, yes, I made it. And God is looking at him. I got you where I wanted. I got you, devil, right where I wanted you. Now, you wouldn't believe it, that what happened in Eden was a trap for the devil.
Right. Right. That's good.
It was a trap for the devil.
Amen.
How was it a trap? Because right after the devil did what he did, God came down.
Amen.
God did not condemn Eve.
Uh-huh.
God did not condemn Adam. When the devil saw God come down, the devil was like, I know what you're going to do. You cast me out of heaven. Now I'm damned, I'm condemned. Just like I am, they are going to be condemned too. That's what he was thinking. But God said, no, my friend. That's not how it is. These two people, they are my son and daughter. I come down not to condemn them, but to redeem them. The devil was shot to death. God came down and he took Adam and Eve back to himself. And the devil was left alone. The devil thought he gave God the greatest blow ever. But that wasn't it. God said, that's nothing yet. Nothing yet. But I'll meet you again down through time. That's why Brother Branham says he started to kill every single seed that he thought he can kill.
Amen.
He started with Abel.
Yeah.
Look what that, how did God redeem Adam. God came down, spoke to them, and the Bible shows you that God cursed the earth, not Adam.
Right.
And God did not give Eve that suffering, that child suffering. God did not give it to her, but He multiplied it. Because once you sin, you already suffer. But He can make it greater. He can't give you or make you suffer. No, He can't. God said, I will multiply. Why? Because the day she sinned, suffering came and started. He did not say, you know what? Because of what you did, Eve, you're going to suffer. That's not what He said. But your suffering will be greater. That's what happened. Now, how did He redeem Adam and Eve? When He came down after the verdict, He took a lamb, killed the lamb, took the skin of the lamb, and clothed them. And what Abraham says, that skin had blood dripping on it as they were walking out of the Garden of Eden. Because blood, as they were walking out, there was blood dripping behind them. There was a trail of blood. The garden was with them through that same blood. Where did this sin happen? In the garden. So God kicked them out. And hide the garden, because nobody knows where it is. And now, the very first thing God did when He came down on earth to save Adam and Eve was by the blood. Just to show that if God had to have the blood, then it has to be that way all the way long.
Amen.
It will never be changed.
Amen.
It's going to be a great need for human beings.
Yes.
To come before God. God says that without the shedding of the blood, you can't approach me.
Right.
You can't come before me.
Right.
You can't talk to me.
Right.
There's got to be something dying in your place. Somebody else's blood had to be shed in your place. It had to. Now, that's what God did in the Garden of Eden. Now, if you see after the flood, in Genesis chapter 8 and 9, after the flood, God, Noah built an altar and he made offerings to the Lord. Okay? The Lord Himself, after the offerings, made a covenant with Noah. He gave Noah the rainbow as a covenant, as a sign. But there could be no covenant without the blood. When Noah built the altar, he had to shed the blood. Once he shed the blood, God come down and made a pact with him. Another covenant with him. The rainbow. Now, it's the blood. The blood started in the Garden of Eden. Continue with Noah. Continue with Noah. Then, it goes to Abraham. God could not make a pact with Abraham without the shedding of the blood. He could not. God changed Abraham's name, his wife, but Abraham had to sacrifice a lamb. There had to be a bloodshed. Because God can't come and communicate with you and I without the shedding of the blood. It started like that, then it will finish like that. It will not change. It will not change. The last plague that struck Egypt was death. Right? Was death. How could the children of Israel be saved from that plague? By the blood. Did you know that even if Pharaoh wanted to apply the blood in his daughter's step, his son would not have died? If the gods wanted to apply the blood, they would not have no death in their family. Because God doesn't look at the man, he look at the blood. Now, God came down to Adam, but the blood was already shed in eternity. That's why he could come down.
Come on, brother, that's good.
That's why he could come down
to
Adam. Because the lamb was killed in eternity before the foundation of the world. When he came down and he killed that lamb in the Garden of Eden, was a type of what had happened up there. Now, that's how important the blood is for God and for his children. It is very important that you are still under this blood. Because if you're not, judgment is on you, brother.
Amen.
Judgment is on you, sister. You have great need of that blood. The last plague was death. But they had to apply the blood. That's why when I preach that message, the token. Now, when God gave Moses the law, that's after Egypt. He read the law, that's Exodus 24. Moses read the law before the people. Okay? And when he finished, he made an offering and took the blood, sprinkled it on the altar and on the people. God gave Moses the law, which is the Ten Commandments. Now, nobody could keep that law. But because God knew that, when Moses came down, he read the law and realized that no one will be able to keep the law. He had to kill a lamb. Because the minute you don't do what the law says to do, you got to die. You got to die. But Moses killed the lamb. And look, he took the blood, apply it, you know, put it on the altar, and on the people. So the altar had to have blood on it. Because without blood, that same altar is judgment. With the blood, that same altar is mercy. It's not two altars, it's one altar. That same altar with the blood is mercy, is grace. But once there's no blood, that same altar come back to be the judgment seat. That's why we don't believe in two gods. We don't believe in God the Father, God the Son. The same God that's my Savior will be our judge. That same God that's going to be our judge today is my Savior. But if you know what's going to happen, You better take God today. Because after we rapture, there's going to be no more mercy. I'm going to tell you this. I'm the reason why you're alive today. Maybe that's too much. You are living today because I am. Brother Reginald. Now you might have thought I was going to say because of God. But once I leave this earth, death will strike. Moses, as he had to sprinkle the blood on the altar and on the people. So, understand this. Not only on the altar, but on the people. Why the people had to have blood on them? Two. Why? Because the altar might have the blood. But if you don't, you are a sinner. You are still a sinner. Now when you come before that God, he's looking for, because the blood is in him, he's looking for the blood in you. That's how it is. God has the blood in him. He's looking for the blood in you. The blood has to be on you too, brother. Can't be on God only. Because that lamb had blood all over himself. When John looked in heaven, he saw the lamb with blood all over himself. Thank you, brother. Now, do you see that? The lamb was not a clean lamb. The lamb was not a neat lamb. The lamb was dirty with blood. The lamb had blood on him. Then, you gotta have blood on you. Because that lamb with the blood on him is looking for the other lambs with the blood on them. Now, look how good is God. Whatever he does for himself, he does for you and I. Oh, yes. When we go to Hebrew now, the chapter we just read, you see that the priest cannot go before God talking about, I don't have to have blood for myself. I only need blood for the people. For the congregation. Why? Because I'm the priest. I was chosen to stand between you and God. I'm holy. Righteous. I don't need no blood. I need the blood for you. You sinners, but I'm not. But thank God for a prophet. Because the same Holy Ghost on the preacher is the same Holy Ghost on the people. That's why we don't have no, like, a place to go where we can plead our cause. You know what? Like, if you don't mind me saying it like that. But I'm starving now. Now some people might take that place and think it's like where we should go if we need something, or if we need to come together as brothers, we need to go and talk to them up there. No, we ain't. We need to go talk to the Lord Jesus. We need to go call on the Holy Ghost, because either you don't have it, or I don't have it. But somebody sure don't have it. Because if we can't be together, if we can't make peace together, one of us doesn't have the Holy Ghost. Or the both of us are pagan. One of us maybe doesn't have the Holy Ghost, or maybe we both are pagans. Because only pagans don't confess their sin together, with each other. But some pagan does. But if you have the Holy Ghost, and I have the Holy Ghost, there's no way, no how, that we won't fix what we have between us. There's no way, no how. I was talking to two sisters at my church. And there was a little something going on between them. I asked one of them, "Do you believe Sister So-and-so has the Holy Ghost?" "Yes." I'm like, "Okay. What about you? Do you believe Sister So-and-so has the Holy Ghost?" "Yeah." "So, I don't see what's going on now." "Now, if you believe she has the Holy Ghost, you believe she has the Holy Ghost, I'm not needed." You can fix it. And I expect you to fix it. Because you say both of you have the Holy Ghost. God has one enemy, and that's the devil. If I'm your enemy, I'm either the devil or you are. Because we can't be two gods. We can't be two Jesus Christ hating on each other. But one of us has not the Holy Ghost. But like Sister Lenchina said, the Sholy Ghost. You don't have the Holy Ghost. You showing, pretending you have in the Holy Ghost. You what you don't. Now, when the priest come, I hope I'm not taking too much of your time. He has to have blood, not only for the people, but for himself. But for himself. And to go in the holiest of all, he has to be washed. He has to have the blood. Without the blood, he'll be dead inside. Now, in the same chapter, Hebrew, you will see that from the very beginning, it was talking about the priest. Let me read it for you. In the first part, for a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary, and behind the second veil. Okay? And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all. In verse 6 and 7. Now when this thing has been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part. It's talking about the priest. Where can the priest go? Into the first part. They could not go into behind the second veil. Now, who can go there? It says, but into the second part, the high priest went alone. We don't have a man today as our high priest. Our high priest is Jesus Christ. Now, the church can bring you right there in front before God. In the sanctuary. But to go into the holiest of all, you need the high priest. And that high priest, brother, is Jesus Christ. Today, Jesus Christ is the Holy Ghost. That high priest today is the Holy Ghost. You can come to church every day, listening to a beautiful sermon every day. And when you come out, when you walk out, oh, that was a beautiful message. But you were just in the sanctuary. never been in the holiest of all. Why? Because you don't have the Holy Ghost to take you to the holiest of all. Coming here is good. Because in here, there's what you call the candlestick. The light of the candlestick. But those lights were not the Shekinah light. Now, if you are in the sanctuary, whatever that's going on outside, you can hear it. Whatever that's happening outside, you can hear it. That is why a brother and a sister in the church, now when they're inside the sanctuary, rejoicing on the word, praising God, saying amen, hallelujah, thank you Lord. But after church is over, once they step outside, somebody cross them up or step on their toes. They puffed up. You are in the sanctuary. You are not in the holiest of all. You were where the seven candlestick was at. This light can do nothing for you. With me preaching here, can't do nothing for you. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost to take you into the holiest of all. Because I can't take you, but the high priest in you can take you. Because you in the first part. Now, the sun out there can still hit you. Can still hit you from where you are. Inside that first part. If it's raining, you can see it. And if you don't be careful, you can get wet. That is why, if somebody said something about you, me, why he's talking about me? I don't know him. And you know what? I used to come here, but brother, thank you. I'm not going to come here anymore. They look for another church. Well, you look for another sanctuary. Taking that, once you leave this sanctuary, where you go, going to be the holiest of all, but no. Wherever you go will be the sanctuary. Because the holiest of all, only the high priest can take you there. And once that high priest takes you there, brother, you are no more in that sanctuary. You are no more in that first part. Because once you enter behind that veil, you cannot see anymore the sunlight. You cannot hear anymore the wind out there. You cannot hear anymore the rain out there. You cannot hear anymore the beast out there screaming or running around in the... You can't no more because you're too far in. And there's only one light where you are. It's the Shekinah light. And when you're in there, nothing out there bother you. Someone says something about you, you don't even hear what they say. Because you're in front of God. You praising God in the holiest of all. Now, people can talk about you. That don't concern you. They can step on your toes. That don't concern you. Because you are in the holiest of all. In front of that Shekinah light. And that Shekinah light will make you blossom. Just like the rod of Aaron. And when you walk out, people will look at you. Wow. You change. And you'll be like, praise God. They'll talk bad about you. You'll turn around and say, ain't you afraid of God? Ain't you scared of God? Now, you're not talking about God in heaven. You're talking about God standing right here in front of them. You ain't talking about Jesus in heaven. You're talking about Jesus here. Ain't you scared of God? Ain't you afraid of God? There was a sister talking so wrong to Brother Branham. Brother Branham turned around and said, ain't you scared of God? She said, what God? I don't need you to talk to me about God. A couple of days later, she's dead. Because they thought that God is in heaven. However, God ain't in heaven. God is on earth today, walking on his 2 feet. But do you know what happened at Pentecost? That man in front of that the beautiful gate. Now when the people are talking about how could that man walk? And the brother come along and talk and says, now the God that was far away, draw near. Now, if you are looking for that God from far away in heaven, today is right here in front of you. That is why Brother Branham says you don't take each other to the court. You don't take each other before man. Why? Because deity is in him. Is in her. Now when you take him or her before the law, you take God before the law. And it's an insult for God. And God says, don't you know the sin we judge the world? Now, if you thought, now, the people, wherever they are, can bring a sound judgment. No, they can't. In order for them to do so, they need the Holy Ghost. But they don't have it. The only one that can have the right judgment, that can discuss a case the right way, is the bride of Christ. Now, if I have something, there's something between you and I can't bring you before the court of law, but I'll bring you before the church, which is the highest court on earth. And they will see that we are the highest court on earth at the right throne judgment. Because who will be there? You and I. Judging who? Them. But when you don't know that, oh, the brother owe me money, he doesn't want to give it back to me. You know what? I'm going to go to my lawyer, a Christian, in this message, has a lawyer. A man lawyer. I thought the Bible says our lawyer was Jesus Christ. How in the world you gonna have a man lawyer? For what? Good luck. Good luck. Because they're just taking your money. And don't ever think that you're going to judge that man at the end. Because you can't. Why? Because you thought he had more judgment, a better judgment than you. Or he could fix your problem. So you can't judge that man. You will be on the same side with that man. Being judged by the real judges. Because a saint of God doesn't take another saint before man or call no lawyer for his brother or sister. And if there's anybody else to call, would be your pastor. If there's anybody to call, would be your pastor or your deacon. or a brother really with the Holy Ghost. Because you don't bring your case before anybody in the church. Oh, he's in the same church. No way. No way. Don't make that mistake. There's one man in the church that God says to confide in is your pastor. Well, I thought God said, don't believe in no man. But yeah, he does. And he's also said, believe in your pastor. And if you don't, you will miss your rapture. God bless you now. God bless you. If you don't, you will miss your rapture. I'm so sorry for you. I don't want to continue because I can't teach you all day. Let me read a quote for you. Who died for us in Question and Answers 1959? What did he die for? He took my punishment. Is that right? And then, how do I get into him? By one spirit, we are all baptized into one body. And when in this body, we covered by the blood. We are baptized by the Holy Ghost, but we still need the blood. All baptized into one body. And when in this body, we are covered by the blood and free from the judgments, the judgment to come. He cannot sin because there's a blood sacrifice laying for him day and night. Not just every week or every month, day and night. There's another place, but what I'm saying is hour by hour. Every hour. He said, he cannot sin because there's a blood sacrifice laying for him day and night. Hallelujah. He can't sin. He has no desire to sin. If he does do something wrong, he don't mean to do it. Now, when you say something wrong, something bad you should not say. And when you tell me you met it, it tells me you have no Holy Ghost. And it tells me also you are not under the blood. When you say something you should not have said, that you should take back, and you said, I'm going to stand behind what I said, it tells me you're nothing but a pagan in the church. Now, I can understand you can't get mad. You're still in this body, then you will get mad. You will get frustrated. But if you say something wrong, I know right then and there you will probably see it. But if you are a true Christian, a minute later, it'll come right back to you. You'll feel, oh, I gotta make that right. Because you will not rest like David until that thing come to light. You will not. Let me just read one more for you. In Hebrews chapter 7, part 2. The Bible said, once purged by the blood of Jesus, has no more desire of sin. If you have a desire, your heart's not right with God. If you have a desire, what is it? To sin. Your heart's not right with God. Now, you will do wrong. But you don't do it willfully. He says, so you trap, and anything you trap into or do something that you don't mean to do it, it's not sin yet. It's not sin yet. When is it sin? It's sin when you mean it. But when you don't mean it, it's not sin. It says, you trap or do something that you don't mean to do it, it's not sin yet. You will repent the minute you see that you are wrong. You'll turn quickly and say, I didn't mean that. I didn't see that. You can say that all through life. A man don't want to be. That's the reason that we are so stupid and so in dark down here on earth. That there's a blood atonement for us all the time. It is because of that blood. There's a blood atonement for us all the time to keep us covered. But without that blood, you lost. Without that blood, you lost. I'm going to tell you two things. The first one, I have it here. It's in a message called Uncertain Sound. Now, Buddy Bottom met a woman. And when Buddy Bottom was looking at the woman, Buddy Bottom was already condemned the woman. And send her straight to hell with everybody else. And that message called Uncertain Sound. But Adam is looking at her and thinking, what is this? What did God strike her down? Meaning you send her straight to hell. The prophet now. Not any kind of brother. The prophet for the age. The mouth of God for the age. The one with the mind of God for the age. Looking at the woman. Another sinner. Like himself that he forgot. And sent her straight to hell. But that God, that merciful God, came down. And Brother Wenham says, I felt something in my heart. I step away behind the door. And then he started to listen. Brother Wenham says, I wanted God to strike her dead. I want to read that word for you. He did not say, I just had a thought. You know, it was just a little feeling. No, that's what he wanted. It wasn't just something that just, no, he wanted it. I wanted God to strike her dead. Strike the whole thing out. He sent her to hell and everybody else to hell. And I felt a real funny feeling. That's when God came down now. I stepped back behind the door. Listen what he said. It is I, God, that was given. See? And he said, and I stepped back behind the door. Now this, he's talking about the Methodist Church, but let's just keep that. I stepped behind the door. Something was going on. And I looked and it was a vision moving. And that's how God talks. That's how he talks to his prophet, by visions. And there was like a circle or a mist of red around the earth, turning. And I looked like that, my eyes focused upon not the woman, not everything else. His own eyes is looking at himself. Not the woman now. God said, I'm going to make you look at yourself. We fail to look at ourselves. But we look at somebody else. God said, hey, my friend, you can't be my prophet and be like that. You can't be my son and be like that. Because I don't look at you. I look at myself. God don't look at us. could look at himself. That he does not look at you, brother. Because if he did look at you, you would have been dead today. He made him looking at himself. Why? Because God is that shadow of you and I. If that shadow looking at himself, then the reality must look at himself too. But what I'm saying is now, God can't see us. But he see the blood. That's not the blood of another God. It's the blood of the God. It's his own blood. So he's not looking at you and I. He's looking at himself by looking at the blood. That is why when he sees the blood, he sees that we have no sin. If you can look at yourself, you won't condemn somebody else. He says, in the same message, and I look like that my eyes focused upon myself on earth, doing sinful things that I should not do. Jesus said in Matthew, before you can see the little, speck in your neighbor's eye, yeah, take the beam. Take that whole oak tree out of your eyes first. Because if you truly can see, you won't see her, you will see yourself. Now, because that oak tree is blinding you, you're looking at the wrong way. So that's why you got to take it out your eyes first. He said, doing sinful things that I should not do. And every time I started to do something wrong, I noticed it would go up before God. And it wasn't. And if it wasn't for that misting blood, I would have died.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, God is showing the prophet about himself. But the blood of Jesus acts like a bumper on a car. And every time my sin would hit God, before God's throne, look like it would strike Jesus before it struck the throne. And he'd shake his head, and the tears would roll down his cheeks, and he'd say, Father, forgive him, not her, or them, but forgive him, you, the prophet, William Marion Branham. Forgive him. He, William Marion Branham, doesn't know what he's doing. God wasn't showing Brother Branham about somebody else. I want you to remember this too. Every time somebody confesses sin, and when Brother Branham was having his prayer line, somebody would walk up to him and something was wrong with them and it was fixed. But you know, God would show Brother Branham everything else, but not what that man had done. Why? Because it was confessed. and hide away. Now, that man, if he did not use that blood, but when I would have seen his sin, because God would have seen his sin. But when I could not see his sin, that was because his sin was covered. But if his sin was not covered, but when I would have seen it, because God seen it. Just like that woman, but when I saw what she did in the car behind her husband, but when I could see that sin, because it was confessed. Once it confessed, it's gone. God can't see it. If God can't see it, Brother Branham can't see it. Now, if Brother Branham can't see it, you and I cannot see it. But why do you and I always remember somebody else's fault? That's because you still can see it. And I'm going to tell you, somebody, there's one person that can see somebody else's sin, even if it's confessed. It's the devil. You either have the devil, or you have the Holy Ghost. If you can see somebody else's sin, that's it. Brother, please forgive me for what I did. But you still can remember it, brother. I'm sorry for you. You don't have the Holy Ghost. Because if you can still take of his sin, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Because if you can think about it, you can still see it. But when you have the Holy Ghost, you will pray for God to make you forget. Oh, well, Brother Reginald, the prophet says we can't forget, true. But you forget all the time. What you want to. But you forget. But there is something you can't forget. She did this to me. I can never forget it. God can never forget your sin either. If you come to a place where I don't think I can ever go back to the same way we used to be, God neither can ever come back to the same way he used to be with you. You got to think about that. Because what comes out of your mouth, God will do. He's the high priest of our confession. What you say is what God does. I can never be like, we cannot. Our friendship can never be the same. Your friendship and God can never be the same. In order for you, in order for God to have mercy for you, you have to have mercy for somebody else. In order for God to forgive you, you got to be able to forgive somebody else. But if you're not under that blood, you can't forgive. If you're not under that blood, you can't forget. Why? Because you yourself needs to be under that blood. But once you come under that blood, you will be able to forgive and forget. Because the Holy Ghost will be in you. Makes you act like God, think like God, walk like God, and talk like God. You will be the very essence of God. It will not be you anymore. It will be God. That blood on earth today, the last thing I'm going to tell you, and then the blood on earth today is not that blood that's shed on Calvary. It is not it. The blood on earth today is you and I. That's the blood. That is why judgment cannot fall on earth. Because the blood is still covering the earth. The blood is you and I. Once that blood is taken away, judgment will strike. And brother, at that day when it comes, brother, what I'm saying somewhere, you will cry for mercy, there will be no mercy. You will cry and ask for forgiveness, there will be no forgiveness. Why? Because the one that could forgive is not here anymore. And when you meet him again, he won't be your savior. He'll be your judge. There's a brother that says something about that. He says, look at in the throne when the judgment comes. You don't see somebody appealing for somebody else. Meaning, you don't see that great white guy with his beard, the daddy, and then the son is walking back and forth. Father, you see this one here, father, no. When John looked, he saw thrones. And in those thrones, he saw the redeemed, which was you and I. But there was another throne. He did not see three thrones. He saw one, and one sat on it. And that one was Jesus Christ. So that same Jesus, who is the lawyer today, the mediator today, he's not doing it to somebody, he's doing it to God the Spirit, because that body is there on the throne as a remembrance for the sin that was on earth that has been paid for. Now, that same lamb will turn to be the judge. It's not going to be the dad coming now and that lamb. No. It's that same mediator, intercessor, that same one will be your judge. So at that day, there will be no way out. There will be no mercy given or no grace given. If you want grace, it's today. Then there won't be any more grace. Because grace today is you and I. In order for you and I to be grace, grace had to come to us. And because grace come to us and made us grace, we have to be grace to somebody else. And if there's one of you here that hasn't had that grace yet, it's time for you to accept that grace. And I'm praying that every one of you here is that grace already. Because if you're not the grace of God today, you can be here. Or maybe you were born and raised here in the message, but you will not be in the rapture. Your birth in the message doesn't give you the right to the rapture. But it's your birth by the Spirit. Your new birth gives you right to that rapture. Because God calls God. God calls God. Amen. There's still blood on the throne. There will be no more blood once we rapture. But because we're still here, there's still grace. And the day we left, there's no more grace. Judgment's right. God bless you. I'm sorry, I take too much of your time.
Let's give the Lord another hand of praise. That's what we call rich. It's a very rich word from God this morning. Just appreciate how he uses Brother Reginald and to speak to our hearts. And, you know, just the importance of the blood was the title of the sermon. I think everybody here got something out at to know what it's all about. And as he was just kind of making mention of how, he's saying how, people can offend you and don't realize that they're offending God. And as he was saying that, the story came back to my mind where Brother Branham's wife made a comment to Brother Branham, and, you know, she was a little upset by him not chastising her son. And she made a comment like, you know, you always gone and, you know, and I'm the one here dealing with everything. And, you know, I wish that, you know, things were a little different or whatever. So she was pretty upset. And I think she slammed the door in the prophet's face. And Brother Branham, being a man, he understood where his wife was coming from, because he was always gone all the time, you know, and just seeing about the needs of the people all over the world. He wasn't just a prophet to the United States, but he was a prophet to the entire world. Amen. And just constantly gone. But he went on outside the house, because the scripture tells us that, you know, it's better for the man to be on the rooftop than inside the house with a woman that's upset. But Brother Branham, he went on outside, and the Holy Spirit told him, saying, now, what she did, I'm not pleased with. And you're going to have to go back in. You're going to have to tell her that what she did, she's going to have to suffer for it. She's going to have to pay for it. And he told him, turn to a particular scripture, and, you know, where Moses' sister had said something and offended God, and she ended up with leprosy. So he said, now you go and tell her that, and, you know, what she... And the key thing is that it wasn't that she offended Brother Branham. She offended God. Sometimes your actions may not offend your brother, your sister, but it may offend the God in your brother or sister. And that's why it's so important. I mean, if you be careful as to what you allow come out your mouth, and, amen, your actions, your reactions. Just be very, very careful of that. You know, but as he went back and knocked on the door and told us that, you know, the Lord told me to come tell you, you know, to read this scripture, and, you know, he's not really pleased, you're going to have to pay for this. She ended up developing a tumor, amen, there, and it's about the size of a grapefruit. It grew, and Brother Branham constantly would pray, Lord, please, you know, she didn't mean to do it. Forgive her, Lord, you know, and just constantly praying, and God just pretty much getting ready to let her go right through surgery. And it was at the last minute, right before the doctors touched her body, Brother Branham had prayed while he was away. He prayed, say, Lord, before the doctor's hand touched my wife's body, let that tumor dissolve. And right before the doctor went to prepare her for surgery, that tumor dissolved. Right before. And she called back, and after he preached, they called and talked to each other, and like, Bill, you're not going to believe it. You know, the tumor's gone. They didn't have to operate. And he said, what time did it happen? And she told him what time. He said, that's the exact time that God told me to pray, and told me, ask whatever I wanted. And I asked right then at that moment, before the doctor's hand touched her body, let that tumor dissolve. God did it just like that. And that came because she said the wrong thing. She said the wrong thing at the wrong time. God healed her of it. Thank God for that. But I tell you what, we want to be careful as to what we say. Amen. And I still believe the same God lives today. Amen. That if any one of us was approaching surgery or whatever it was, before the doctor's hand touched your body, whatever that condition is can dissolve. Amen. He is the same God today. I believe that. Amen. God bless you, Brother Reginald. We appreciate you. Amen. This morning. It's wonderful. A wonderful, wonderful, wonderful message. The importance of the blood. Amen. It's one that you got to go back and listen to some more, because you'll get more out of it. But that was wonderful. Amen. We have a prayer request here. Amen. This is for... Mother Damas, I believe she hasn't been feeling well for about 4 days. Amen. So we want to pray for Mother this morning. Her daughter's asking prayer for her. Amen. Mother, why don't you come? Is Mother here? She's not here. Okay. Well, we're going to pray for her, and we'll send the word. Amen. To where she is. And we just want to pray. I tell you, the enemy's just attacking so many in their bodies. We're going to claim victory. Amen. We're not looking at what the devil's doing. We're going to look at what our God can do. Amen. He's more than able. So let's just bow in a brief word of prayer. Father God, we come before your presence, Lord. The power that's in the blood, the importance of it, how grateful we are, Lord, to just hear what we've heard here today. Thank you for using your servant, Lord, Brother Reginald, and just allowing him to speak, Lord, to our hearts. And God, we just pray that you continue to use him for your glory and your honor, that you continue to strengthen him, lead him, guide him, direct him, and Lord, just bless his ministry abundantly. For Lord, it's a ministry that the bride needs to hear. We're grateful for all that you did here this morning. As this prayer request has come, amen, before of the church. Lord, we pray, just as your prophet prayed, that in between the condition and the patient, we place the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, the blood is the go-between today. And we ask that you, Lord, would go in between this condition. And you're separated from our precious sister, Lord. Hasn't been feeling well for the last 4 days. And God, we just condemn it right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever it is, we condemn it right now. Command it to loose her and let her go. And God, may by the time her daughter makes it back home, she'll find her mother fine and doing well. Oh, God, we believe that you're the same God. And amen, just as I shared the testimony there of Brother Branham praying for his wife that before the doctor's hands would operate, before they would touch her body, let the tumor dissolve. Lord, there's others going through in their bodies. And Lord, before, amen, and Lord, I just think of Mother, amen, here this morning. And I know, Lord, how Satan's just been attacking her in her body. Lord, the doctors don't want to really do surgery because of her age. That's okay, Lord. You are the doctor of doctors. You are the great physician. And God, just as you touch Sister Branham, you can touch Mother Tillman. Amen. Before a doctor would ever touch her body, let it dissolve, God. Let the tumor, whatever it is, let it dissolve, God. We command it to loosen. Let her go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. If there's any others in our midst, Lord, that are suffering like that, before the doctor's hand would touch their bodies, may whatever that condition is, may it dissolve in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, we place the blood there. Well, Lord, there's power in the blood. There's life in the blood. Lord, it's because of the blood that the children of Israel, their firstborns were saved. Lord, it's because of the blood that we can approach, amen, your great presence. It's because of the blood that we can accept our healing. Lord, we thank you for the blood. Not only did you die for our salvation, but you died for our healing. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Everything that we lost in the Garden of Eden has been restored because of the blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Pray that you bless, Lord, each and every one, and Lord, in their own special ways. As we prepare to leave this place today, we ask that you would go with us and that, Lord, you would keep us until we're able to see one another again. Bless those saints that are traveling and, amen, going to and fro. Let them arrive back safely, Lord. Home is our prayer. And, Lord, we just ask that you continue, Lord, to do great things in the midst of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Can we give them another hand clap of praise? Hallelujah. Through the blood. Help me sing it. Through the blood we can come into his presence. Well, it's through the blood Jesus has made a way. We can come into his presence through the blood. Everybody say it now, say through the blood. Well, it's through the blood. Oh, we can come into his presence. Oh, it's through the blood. I know that Jesus has made a way that we can come into his presence. Oh, it's through. Come on, one more time with all your heart. Oh, we say now through the blood. Yes, it's through the blood. Oh, we can come into his presence. Well, it's through the blood.
blood. I know Jesus. Jesus has, yes, he has made. We can come, oh, well, it's through the blood. Oh, let's just give God praise for the blood. Thank him for the blood today. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you. Tonight we'll be back, amen, for our communion service. And tonight I just need to start it just a little later. We'll come at 6 o'clock, amen, rather than 5:30. We'll come at 6 o'clock for our communion service tonight. The other thing I need to make announcement about is on this Friday, Brother Homer Brown, amen, from St. Augustine will be with us again on this Friday. Amen. So I'll just be prepared for that. We'll be back on Wednesday night as well for service. We again want to thank God for Brother Mally Bangwe. Amen. So good to have him with us. And amen. While he's here from South Africa. Amen. We thank God for that. And thank God also for Brother Reginald again. We appreciate him. Amen. And just coming out. I called him on, I think it was Thursday, and he said, sure, I'll be here. And I'm just so happy that he was able to make it and on such short notice and just preach a masterpiece of a message here for us on today. Thank God for also all the other saints from Boynton Beach. Amen. We appreciate them as well. Amen. So praise the Lord. The brothers will come at this time. You can be seated. The brothers will come at this time. Amen. To dismiss you. God richly bless you.